Welcome to the Complete Musician Podcast Halloween Spooktacular with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Complete Musician Podcast Spooktacular, Halloween Spooktacular to be specific. We may not have been recording these as frequently, but we cannot miss a holiday special. So I am James, and I'm joined by
Drew. And if you've been following our podcast for a while, you know that this is an annual thing that we always do. I think people
always
think that Halloween is our favorite holiday because we always do a Halloween spooktacular.
Well, I mean, there's candy involved, there's ghosts involved. What's not to like?
It's true. I absolutely love Halloween, and it's got a lot of fun traditions and things associated with it. Do you have any Halloween traditions you always do other than our podcast one?
Other than our podcast, these days it's turning off all my lights and hiding in the back of the house so I don't have to hand out candy. That's my tradition.
That's your tradition?
Now, carving pumpkins. Always got to carve a pumpkin.
Okay.
Or at least think about carving a pumpkin. One of those two.
I learned today from the internet that leaving a pumpkin outside in Arizona is illegal during Halloween
because it rots and smells.
It rots and smells, and then it attracts some critter that goes and like is a nuisance to the people in residential areas. I didn't know that until today. I saw it on the internet. My tradition during Halloween is I always watch the Scream series because I'm a big fan of those movies.
Yes,
I do. And since we're recording this a couple of days before Halloween, I'll probably start that tonight or tomorrow, something like that. But I love those movies. They're just so much fun.
How many of them are there at this point?
There are five now. Okay. And the fifth one, I think it's just screaming.
The spooky streaming. Screaming to a television near you.
Yes, I think it's just streaming. I own the four on DVD, but I think the fifth one's just streaming now. So I've seen them. They're great. Mm-hmm. I just love the story. They're awesome. That's my favorite. One of my favorite traditions of Halloween.
Yeah, so you got to watch the scary movies, listen to those scary soundtracks, listen to everyone's theory tool when learning perfect fifths and minor sixths. So the theme from the Halloween movies, right?
Yeah.
Is that the Mike Myers theme or something?
Yeah,
it is. Mixing those all up. Okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. And speaking of that, everyone listening, we want to thank you for listening to our Halloween Spooktacular. And coming up at the end of the podcast, we are actually going to have a giveaway based on a little quiz that we're going to do. So you have to listen to the very end. I guess you could scroll ahead if you really want to.
No, we know.
But we will know.
We see the analytics.
That's right. So there's going to be a quiz at the end with a giveaway, and it will be based on some scary movie music stuff.
Well, no, let's say it'll be based on the material we talk about from now until then.
And we're going to talk about all of those things. Actually, we are going to talk about a lot of it. But anyway, so we have some activities to do before that quiz, but make sure you listen to the end because there will be a giveaway. And speaking of, so we have a certain number of activities to do because we always have fun stuff to do.
Yes. And it is music or music adjacent because you're thinking, this is the Complete Musician Podcast. What does this have to do with anything? Well, it does.
Yes.
For the most part.
How about I go first? How about that?
Okay. That sounds good.
So, you know, we always, being a complete musician, not only means loving Halloween, that's a requirement, but we also have to do a little bit of learning, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit. So we're gonna do a little bit of some informative stuff here. And one of the things that I decided we're going to look into that applies to an activity and with my own little spin is talking about horror movies. I love horror movies. Do you love horror movies?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. So with
like so many things, we are diametrically opposed.
Yes. So I love horror movies. But within the people that love them, there's a bunch of different subgenres of horror movies. Mm-hmm. So I want to list a couple of those. And then because you know I love storytelling.
Yes.
I wrote some stories that I want you to tell me what subgenre they fall into.
Okay. What subgenre you think they fall into?
What you think they fall
what
into.
What I think they fall into.
All of the stories are music related.
Okay.
So that makes it applicable. Okay, so we'll go through a couple of them first, and I describe them. Are any of these true? No, none of them are true. They're not like last year. Last year, if you haven't listened to our last one, I made up stories last year that James had to guess whether they're true or not. No, these are all false, I promise.
Okay.
You'll see. Well, one of them... anyway.
Based on historical
based
figures,
on true offense, maybe.
But not... All people and names have been changed for the sake of
yes,
story.
100%. Yes. 100%. Okay, so I'll quickly go through some of the subgenres and the way I would describe them. There's psychological horror movies, which is like home invasion, madness, paranoia, phobia, that kind of thing. The way I describe that is people gone crazy, and it could absolutely happen to you, which makes it terrifying. So that's movies like The Purge, The Shining, The Descent, lots of articles before, you know, nouns, that kind of thing.
That's
of course, there's
really scary.
You what?
That just scares me right there.
Oh, grammar? Yeah.
Just the, yeah.
Yeah, I know. The next one is the slasher genre, which is super-powered psychopaths that hunt down mostly immoral teenagers. So like Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, Psycho, all those. Although Psycho, he didn't really hunt down teenagers. It was just like Janet Leigh. That was it.
People with maybe the focus and experience and knowledge of a teenager.
Yeah. Next one is the supernatural. And for this one, a la Craterface from Greece.
The rules are, there ain't no rules.
In that. So basically, it's ghost and stuff. That's about it.
Okay.
So like haunted houses, ghosts, possession, demons, witches, supernatural powers, that kind of stuff. So it's like Carrie and The Exorcist, Paranormal Activity, those kind of things. I hate those.
Would you consider Ghosts, Casper, a Halloween movie?
It's been so long since I've seen Casper. This is a really big... This is my hot take. I really don't like Ghostbusters at all. I don't.
That's fine. I don't think I've actually seen it all the way through.
I can't stand it. It's boring to me. And again, that's people probably could cut us off now. But that's okay. I don't like Ghostbusters. I didn't see the new one because I didn't like the original. So I didn't think I'd like it. But Casper, I haven't seen in so long. I don't remember anything about it except that there's three other green ghosts and he's white. Like
there's
two other green ghosts. I can't remember.
Are they brothers?
I can't remember.
A blob of ghosts and yeah. I guess this could be the discussion of if Die Hard's a Christmas movie, is Casper a Halloween movie because they're ghosts.
I kind of find it creepy because aren't they supposed to be children?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Casper a child?
He's a child.
A dead child.
I mean, depending on your definition of child, a younger person, yes.
Okay, well, that's creepy.
See?
That's
Halloween
weird.
Movie. Okay, anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Okay, next one is folk horror or backwoods brutality. And the way I describe that is a Sunday drive through Southwest Virginia, parts of Texas, or the entire state of Mississippi. Is basically what the description is of that genre.
Please send hate mail to drew@cormodo.gmail.com.
So that's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, House of a Thousand Corpses, Hills Have Eyes, those weird ones. Those are okay to me, but seriously, that's like, it's always the people who run out of gas on the back road and then encounter the weirdies.
See Tucker and Dale versus Evil? There's like
no,
a spoof
I never saw
that
it.
Kind of film.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I need to see that though. Then there's found footage, which is snotty people acting badly with way too close camera angles, right? So like Blair Witch or Escape from Tomorrowland. Remember that one? Did you see that?
I think so. I don't know if I saw it all the way through, but
that one's not. That's the NSFW. That is not safe for work. So anyway, watch that one with. Reservation. Anyway, now next one is body horror, gore, and extreme movies, which is people who don't look like people anymore or people who don't want other people to look like people anymore, like The Fly, that old one, or Human Centipede. I can't stand those. Those are blech.
They just go for shock.
Yeah, value. I just can't. That's disgusting. Then there's the torture movies, which is also known as giving ideas to the future serial killers of tomorrow. Saw, Hostel, those. Ugh,
Paul Blart.
Just gross to be gross. Then there's animals, which is like cute and cuddly is not their MO. So like Jaws, Cujo. The Sharknado disaster series, snakes on a plane.
That's not. Did anyone actually think Sharknado was like a scary movie?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're. I mean, they're supposed to be parody, but didn't people think Snakes on a Plane was supposed to be legitimately scary?
I don't.
I mean,
know.
Snakes I on a Plane is scary, but like, I don't know. It's dumb. Okay, then there's four others, but I got bored describing mm-hmm. them or looking up movies for them. So, like, vampire movies we're not going to talk about because they're not worth it. Comedy horror, the only one that matters is Shriek, because I Know What You Did Last Friday the 13th, which is my favorite movie of all
it's
time.
It's a very silly movie, yeah.
Yes, everyone. You have to go watch Shriek, because I Know What You Did Last Friday the 13th. It is the best. And by that, I mean the worst. And yes. You have to watch it. It's just amazing. make sure you pay attention to everything. It's amazing. Then there's sci-fi horror, which is just like aliens and Sigourney Weaver. That's it. Because Freddy versus Jason in space does not count. That is not sci-fi horror. That is no, not at all. And then there's zombie movies, which is like bath salts, but in real life. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a story. I wrote a short one. It's very, very short. And I want you to tell me which one it falls into.
Okay.
Out of all the ones I listed. Okay. Here's the first story. You stayed in the music building too late to practice for your studio recital tomorrow that you're totally unprepared for. As you pack up, you feel eyes on you, but every time you glance at the door, there's no one there. As you leave the practice room and close the door, a scuffling sound appears down the hallway. You glance quickly to see a shadow disappear around the corner. You back slowly away until you reach the opposite end of the corridor and slowly open the door with your back to keep watching down the hallway because you've seen movies. As you turn your head to exit, you are shocked to run into Marcus, the new freshman oboe player at school. "Hi, Marcus," you say. "What are you doing here so late?" "Making reeds," he says. "Well, where's the reed you made?" you ask. He slowly smiles and holds up his reed knife and says, "Hi, new reed."
I was hoping you were going there because I was definitely thinking slasher, you know, with the reed knife. But yep. I think there's a little element of ghost in there too, because this is you know, it's a combination. I'm seeing a practice room hallway that's kind of a liminal space that's just kind of awkwardly large and never ending, and
very
people
dark
can get lost there. So like
very easily.
Freshmen can just disappear, and you see you have those ghosts.
They never
that
come out.
Haunt. You know, you're walking down, you're looking for an empty practice room, and you hear music coming out of them, but you look in and
you
there's
never
no
see
one
them.
There. Yeah,
it's because they're sleeping, propped up against the door.
That's right. Well, I mean that's true, but that's not as scary. but yeah, or maybe even scarier is I don't know. I mean, oboe players. They do carry their knives. Yeah.
They do. They have a lot of them. Them and bassoonists. They're scary.
But what's the twist? I think the twist of this prompt is that this person actually comes to your aid in the end, because the real villain of this is someone else.
The real villain is that you didn't prepare for your studio recital tomorrow.
Yes.
That's
right.
The real villain. And that makes it all the more scary that people have to go to that.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I think so. Okay. Yes, I would say slasher because oboe players are...
Except in this case, it would be Scraper.
It'd be Scraper. Exactly right. The Scraper series. That's a whole new genre. Okay, ready for the next one?
Yep.
The next one.
And I think we should kind of take these prompts and kind of talk about them a little bit, like add to the story, beef it up a little bit.
This one... It may, or again, like you said, none of these are real, but we've discussed situations similar to this. You'll be able to see where it's going very quickly, I believe. And I think we've all felt some horror of this in some way. Here we go. Here's the next story. By the way, the scary music that's playing right now, that will be here to continue setting the mood, just in case you hadn't noticed.
There's going to be scary music in one of my segments as well. So,
oh, good.
Except,
okay, so there's been scary music all day long?
I think we're going to blow our entire budget on this scary music, so my scary music is going to be, like, great value brand scary music.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to point it out in case you weren't aware it's happening. Okay. Here's the next story. You're playing the second half of the big orchestra concert of the year, and your teacher all day long has said, hydrate, because you want to make sure your lips don't dry out. Drink water, because caffeine will make your heart race. You've been downing water from your Hydro Flask constantly because you're nervous and you really want your big solo to go well because the big piece on the program is Chike 5. After 8 refills, you feel like you're properly hydrated and ready to play your best. So you're sitting on stage and the oboe plays the A to tune, and you tune and make sure you've got all of your E's well adjusted and your tuning slide in place when you feel a sensation somewhere around your abdomen. You ignore it and wait for the strings to tune. Suddenly, you feel a more intense pressure, but you shift in your seat and you're fine for a moment. The conductor comes out and you stand and sit with the concertmaster, but this time the feeling doesn't pass. The first movement begins and the clarinets play, but all you can think about is waterfalls, rain, and tidal waves. The conductor seems to drag through the andante like a dirge. You feel like you're going to explode. The horn section looks at you squirming. You remember that the first movement of the symphony lasts for at least 15 minutes, and the entire symphony for 45. The horror of Tchaikovsky has just begun.
Yeah, this sounds very relatable. my honest answer is this is like the perfect setup for like a spoof horror movie. But what if the feeling is a ghost? What if it's not this... Just
what if it's nerves? What if it's not?
What if it's what?
The need to. What if it's nerves? What if it's not actually the need to evacuate?
What if the need to evacuate actually means leave the stage?
Seriously, what would you do in that situation? Like, I don't know. You'd have to, if you're about to go, you've got to get out. You've got to go. That would distract the whole thing. You can't just sit there.
That's why we practice self-control. So you focus on the music and focus on the notes. And then what is that? A ghost suddenly appears.
A ghost. It's true.
No, that's just Berlioz sitting at the front. Aww. That's just your conductor. gosh, that is a scary story because I think we can all relate to that.
I seriously want to know, anyone listening, if this has ever happened to you or you've heard something like this happening and you've had to deal with it in real time, please let me know what you did, because I'm very intensely curious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the worst things that you can not do, but there's the worst kind of preparation or advice you can give is like, make sure that you're really well hydrated. Well, yeah, you're really well hydrated. That's terrible for sitting on stage for a very long time. Like, this is what you don't want to be, but I don't know.
If your body isn't used to it, I mean, you just want to play the same way as you practice. Here's actual good advice from this podcast, not, potty humor, which we're keeping a real high bar today on this one.
I know, right? don't worry, potty humor will come back in my second activity, but anyway.
Okay,
so I would say that one's like maybe the makings of like a comedy. I think that'd be good. Or I think it could also be psychological, because now you have to deal with that fact. If you can't leave the stage, what are you going to do?
Ooh,
you have to shut that instinct down.
Do you not drink the water? And do you know you not drink the water? Or do you drink the water and spin the wheel of fate?
Ooh, I don't know. Do you wet yourself and hope no one notices? I don't know. Like, what do you... And hope it dries
suddenly,
after 45 minutes.
Suddenly, in the middle of the third movement, time freezes, and you see a shadowy figure looming. He doesn't hold a scythe, but instead he holds a roll of toilet paper. Is this death? No, this is death of the bladder. He's coming to talk to you. You've made a most unwise choice, he says. And you will have to battle me in a battle of wits to... determine what happens when time unfreezes.
Wow, this took a spin. I like it, though. This is a plot that I want to run with. I enjoy it. Okay, the next one is very, very short, and I think you'll be able to get this one pretty easily from all of the subgenres that I've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the next one. You need recital credits before the end of the semester, and you walk into your school's concert hall. You glance at the digital program. It says Bassoon Studio Recital.
Oh.
I know which one I call that.
I figured most of the categories, but I mean, that sounds like psychological horror.
Oh, I was thinking torture.
Torture? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all Sorcerer's Apprentice, just different arrangements. Yep, it's like a Chartish version of Carnival of Venice, but on Sorcerer's Apprentice. Or in the Hall of the Mountain King.
Oh, those stop notes. Anyway, bassoonists, we love you, but we do like to make fun of you. Okay, so that was that one. I would say torture on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then our last one. This one, I think this was kind of funny. Because this would be wild if this actually happened. You're giving your senior recital and walk out to play your final piece, Strauss's First Horn Concerto. You play the first pitch after the piano does their introduction, and it sounds a B natural. You stop playing and look at your instrument. Someone or something has switched all of the slides around on your instrument. You take a momentary pause and walk off stage. You reassemble your horn correctly and come back to grand, but very confused and uncomfortable, applause. You begin Strauss 1 again. This time you make it through the opening call. However, halfway through the initial lyrical phrase, your trigger comes untied and you're forced to play the rest of the movement and piece on your without your B-flat side. During the second movement, your screw bell begins to become unscrewed. During the opening of the third movement, your valve cap falls off. Before the final allegro section, your F-tuning slide falls out. What is going on?
Well, I actually never saw Squid Game, so I don't know if this is anything like that. But this seems kind of like Saw-esque, where it's like, let's play a game! And you have to get through the concerto while all these bad things are happening.
That is so funny, because that's not at all about Squid Game, but that would be... that would be something that I can totally, like, see that. But, like, you miss a note and you die. And you're like,
yeah. It's
like something ridiculous.
Here is the
what can you
elegy.
Deal with to the end?
Right.
Your horn's falling apart. And, like, can you play it without missing notes? Oh, my gosh. That's super funny. I said that that one is definitely either supernatural or comedic horror, because I would actually enjoy sitting in that performance to see what would actually happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would
we
be
actually
super
do,
funny.
At the Kendall Betts camp that I teach at the summer, we have a fun, like a game night, and some of the activities are like playing excerpts with your valves swapped or removed.
Oh, crazy.
As fun torture, I suppose.
Yeah, that
and it is actually a really good time, but yeah, that would be something, and that actually this whole thing kind of can segue perfectly into my segment too. Or
good, because I'm
take
done.
A little break because those are all the stories.
We could. Those are all the stories. That's all I came up with.
Those are good stories. Yeah,
we can take a segue if we need to.
Okay, so
okay, listen to this thing that we've prepared. Or that we have. Listen to this thing. It'll be great. We'll be back in a minute.
If you're looking for a frightfully good time this Halloween, come on down behind where Toys R Us used to be on Nightmare on Elm Street and visit the Halloweeny Carnival, open from 5 p.m. to whenever you leave.
You won't.
This year's main attractions include
Carlo Gesualdo's House of Horrors.
I almost lost my skin in there.
Oh, did you almost jump out of it?
No, like, he actually murdered people in the first scale degree.
Right on.
Prokofiev's Pumpkin Patch.
Where one in every 10 pumpkins is a mistake. Copeland's newest rodeo movement, Hayride.
A slow ride in a slow machine.
Be sure to check out our food vendors, including
Tater Totentots.
Monster mashed potatoes and Francaise French fries.
It's all potatoes.
They are the scariest vegetable.
The candy corno contest. How many candy corns can you shove in your horn and still play the short call?
Last year we had the Mary Had a Little Lamb go round, but we got rid of it, and this year we turned it into the Silence of the Mary Had a Little Lambs, which is much better.
Good rinse!
Heck, Berlioz's Fantastic Roller Coaster.
Watch out for that beam!
If you don't watch out, you'll lose your head.
And don't miss our other great attractions, such as the Costume Contest, the Pumpkin Pie Bake Off, and Dennis Brains' Zombie Survival Experience.
So come on down in your best costume and enjoy the carnival. You'll be dying to come back next year.
The second activity we have is also a spooky story, but it's one that's a little bit more interactive. And this being a musician-based podcast, we're going to continue along with this line of just what are the scariest things that musicians have to do. And I think we've all had those scenarios that maybe haven't happened in real life, but the worst nightmare. And so rather than talking about our worst nightmares, what I thought we'd do in kind of the complete musician tradition is to do a Mad Lib style nightmare story and then put a dramatic reading over scary, spooky music. So I actually wrote my own Mad Lib. And
I'm excited.
And here's the thing. I actually posted the coding on our KormodoHorn.com website. So you all can go and do it yourself and make your own musician's nightmare.
Oh, man. That'd
story
be so fun.
It's under go media. Do it. And it's called, it's under Mad Lib, which is, I think, the copyrighted name. So this is not a Mad Lib. This is an ad lib story.
Nice.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to ask you for some information, and then I'm going to fill it in and create a story.
I'm ready.
Okay? Okay, so this is the boring part. We'll put some interesting music in the background, or maybe we'll, like, put our voices down and then have more commercials. Anyway, tell me an amount of time.
2 hours.
A body part.
Eyelashes. Or eyelash.
2 hours later.
Sort of. Okay. And then a musical technique element.
Double tonguing.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Hopefully this works.
Okay.
So this is called The Musician's Nightmare.
Okay.
A musician's life is especially spooky around Halloween, when the ghosts and ghouls haunt our dreams. Last night, my worst nightmare happened. I looked at my watch and realized the concert was only 2 hours in the future. I quickly ran out the door, but stubbed my eyelashes on piles of waffles on the floor. I rushed into the concert hall only to realize that I left my triangle at home. No, where could it be? Did I leave it in Greenland? I know I practiced just 4.3 seconds ago. In a panic, I rushed to the panic room. That was a good one.
Oh, that was a good one.
Only to find a mirror and realize I was only wearing jeans. This can't be happening, I told myself.
No.
And yet it gets worse. Instead of my music, I opened my bag to find shovels. Instead of my tuner, a tuner. Wait
that
a second,
a
that doesn't
one.
Seem right. Instead of my tuner, a tuner. I rushed on stage as I heard the first sounds of Kenny G being played. But when I got on stage, there was only a spotlight shining down upon a reed knife. Where did everyone go? Where was the sound coming from? I looked down and found the triangle in my hands, but it quickly turned into roaches. How could this day get any worse? Oh, it can, as suddenly, practicing your high range. That didn't work. I take a deep breath and think about hamburgers. Suddenly, I am full with peace and calm. This is only a dream, I try and tell myself. If this was a nightmare, we'd be playing music by Berlioz. Like Kool-Aid Man, suddenly Berlioz breaks through the wall and shouts, "Killing two birds with one stone." Stunned, I find the hubris to play a note on my triangle, and in that moment, I waken to find myself sleeping in a practice room. It was only a dream, I tell myself. Or was it? As for the rest of my life, I feel the peering eyes of Berlioz watching me at all times, judging my double-tonguing and taunting me from afar, like a vamping coda from beyond the grave.
Wow.
The end.
That was terrifying. I think the scariest parts included that you found shovels instead of your tuner.
Shovels instead of... Let's see, where was it? Instead of music. Yeah.
Oh, your music, excuse me. Uh-huh. Finding
and
shovels.
A tuner instead of your tuner.
Hearing Kenny G.
Yeah.
Your triangle turning into roaches.
Legitimate.
That's pretty horrifying.
Stuff. Yeah.
And then just generally playing Berlioz for Berlioz.
For Berlioz.
I mean, we've done that. So
yeah, we have.
That's we've played for Berlioz before. We've played Berlioz for Berlioz before. So it's
yeah.
That's a very that's an experience that we know very well.
So anyway, I recommend if you should all go on and make your own versions and then send us your stories,
yes.
Your scary stories.
And we'd love to hear your dramatic readings.
That too, yes. We can feature some dramatic readings maybe on a special Spooktober follow-up narrative
yes.
edition.
Yes.
Or Spooktacular. I don't even remember what we call this. Yeah.
No, it's something. Okay, so that was really great. Actually, that really segues into my last activity.
Mm-hmm.
Because... You know, James, I think you're a really intelligent individual. I hold you in high regard for intelligence.
No, I know everything.
I also think that you're a very creative individual.
No, you're wrong.
And I wanted to draw on that creativity because what we're going to do now is we're going to do a quick fire story.
Uh-oh.
Kind of like one of those choose your own ending.
Ooh,
things.
I like those. I used to read those
almost
all the time, those
like
Goosebump books.
Yeah. I love those.
Yeah.
Almost like that. Almost like those. I've never played. What was it? Like Dungeons and Dragons or something like that, where there's a game master.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So I have a story that I have written some cues for, but based on what you say back to me, I'm going to continue the story.
Okay.
But it's got to be fast.
Okay.
It's going to be really fast on this. Everybody has some things written out, so I may have to add some information based on what you say. And sometimes I may not care what you say. I'm just going to keep reading what I wrote. So we'll see.
Good. The power
where
of illusion. The illusion of choice.
Yes, exactly. This is not really music related. Well, that's not true. There's
should
a little
I make
bit of music in here.
Related?
No. I think you should respond naturally with how the absurdity unfolds.
Okay.
There will also be familiar characters from our lives in this.
Ooh.
Or at least one familiar character in our life. And I sincerely hope that he enjoys this. I think we both know who that person will be. Anyway. Okay. The setting is that you are at your home. It's Halloween night. And you are sitting in your bushes with a garden hose to drench potential TPers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where we're starting. Okay, ready?
Sure.
A boy walks up to your house with a roll of TP. What do you say?
If you have to go, please, I don't have space to go right now. You have to go home.
He says, my name is Carmichael.
Hi, Carmichael. It seems you've eaten some Taco Bell tonight.
He wets his pants.
I told you, get off my lawn.
He pulls out a trombone.
I spray him vigorously with the hose, trying to knock the trombone out of his hands.
He drops his trombone and a ghost appears and says, howdy.
Thank you. This kid just peed his pants. He was on my lawn. He had a trombone. You saved the day. What is your name, Mr. Ghost?
The ghost sympathizes and says, I have no name. Suddenly, the sprinkler system comes on, but instead of water, it shoots out candy corn.
I die.
The ghost wets his pants.
And the moral of the story is candy corn brings out the worst in people.
Carmichael says, Joe Alessi wouldn't have done that, and I gave him a bag of candy corn once after I played Tubamirum for him. The ghost says, I died from a Mozart score falling on my head from his requiem. All three of you go somewhere. Where do you go?
We go to Waffle House, because at this point, that's the only thing that's open.
You find a book and open it to page 74. What is the first line you read?
The riddle has yet to be solved, yet the archaeologist persists.
The ghost says, that is my family motto. It means...
Watch what you eat, so you don't pee your pants.
Carmichael says, I need a Mountain Dew Code Red. Where does he find one?
Well, since we're at Waffle House, he goes across the street to the Taco Bell, where they have a myriad of Pepsi-based products.
Carmichael returns, and suddenly a rainstorm starts. Carmichael's teepee is ruined, and the ghost melts to reveal that he is, in fact, Jeff O'Grill in disguise. How do you react?
Well, I guess you'll have to write another book about this, huh?
Carmichael embraces Jeff and says, I've been wanting to learn about the Overtone series for my entire life. How does Jeff react?
I smell trombone on your fingers, and thus I will banish you away forever.
A witch appears. What does she say?
I'll have a waffle and the black coffee.
How do you respond?
I'm not your waitress. She's over there. I'm just here with Jeff O'Grell and this trombone pee kid.
She skips over your response entirely and challenges you and Jeff to a game of euchre against her and her sister Lucinda. Carmichael is forced to watch silently in a stance. What stance does he take to observe the game?
He was watching some TED Talks, so obviously power pose.
You are dealt a jack, two fours, and an ace. What do you play first?
We're playing euchre? Why do you have two fours? Someone misdealt. I play a red card. This is not a legal maneuver.
Jeff trumps you and yells gin. How do you react?
Someone should lay off the gin. Another round of waffles, please, waitress.
Lucinda claims Uno and draws three cards. The witch summons a plate of cheese to be shared by the table. What kind of cheese does she summon?
Squeaky cheese. Like, you know, this is cheese curds.
You realize that the witch's version of euchre is actually a game of war and you play your ace. Did you win?
Yeah, of course.
The witch and Lucinda use Carmichael's ruined teepee to dry their tears because witches cry at everything. They send you, Carmichael, and Jeff to another restaurant. Where do they send you?
Let's go to like a Mexican restaurant. I don't know. That's not funny, but I'm hungry for, you know, like fajitas. So
you are sitting in a booth together. What do you order from the dollar menu?
Chips and salsa.
You get heartburn and take some Tums. Jeff claims to have some in his pocket, and as he turns them out, he also finds something else. What else is in his pocket?
More pocket Tums, but with a little bit of lint on it, so they're not really usable.
Using this new item, he creates a new dish for the restaurant. What does he call it?
He calls it a creative approach to old tacos.
It becomes a delicacy, and you dedicate it both to Carmichael and his impeccable stance during your euchre game. What was that stance again?
That's the power pose.
You finally get to go home and sleep. In all of the madness, your house was still TP'd by some miscreant.
Oh. Or was it me all along?
Or that's the end of the story.
Nice. That was totally
That was a
bizarre.
Lot for you. I know. That was that was really weird. But it was okay. You came up with some good answers.
That was a narrative I don't know if it was a chain or a web or a Venn diagram of just bizarre.
Of
but
events.
Spooky. Yes. Yeah,
very spooky. Yeah.
Do people still TP people's houses?
I don't know. I've
with
never seen
how
it.
Much
I think
TP costs and with, you know, now that there's not supply and demand for it like there was 2 years ago, but
right. That
still,
would have been a big waste of money. I think you
like if
would
someone
only...
Okay, 2 years ago, if someone TP'd my house, I would have been like Thank you.
Thank you. Please come back in toilet paper and please come back in paper towel anytime you want. Please.
That's right.
And drop off some food while you're here too. Throw some eggs. Make sure I can catch them though. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. That's funny. That was an interesting story. And you have one more activity, right?
I do. Yes.
Okay, we should take a break though.
Okay, and here's a break from one of our sponsors / just listen to this.
When you go on vacation, the last thing you want to worry about is your car, especially your luxurious Hyundai Sonata.
That's where we come in. Here at Sonata Daycare Center, we... Ugh, not again.
Okay, here's little Charlie. Make sure he doesn't eat nuts or plastic or Hamio's cars or dirt. He's allergic to...
Susan, listen to me. We are Sonata Daycare Center. You get it? So, not the daycare center. For cars, not toddlers. Ugh.
Hey, I'm here to pick up my... Ugh! Why are all these smelly kids here?
We are so sorry, sir. We'll be able to help you in just a minute. So, anyway...
Here at Sonata Daycare Center, we treat your car with extra special love and care. We offer...
Here's Billy for his dental lesson!
No, Carol, no. We are Sonata Daycare Center, not Sonata Daycare Center. Anyway, we offer free waxing, oil changes, state inspections, headlight fluid replacement...
I like Batman, I want a patty man.
Get out of here, you little brat! Ugh. Sorry, folks. Some more things that we offer,
Can I finally get some service?
Sorry, sir. Okay, we'll make sure you fill out our form with the correct exposition and double theme and development. Tyler, get off of the dominant. You can't stay there forever.
Anyway, so to recap, here it's not a... No! Put that down!
Oh, yeah!
Sonata Daycare Center does not exist and never has existed and seems to have burned down anyway, so it won't ever exist, and no children, Hyundai Sonatas, or musical forms were harmed in the filming of this advertisement, because all of this is fictional and ridiculous, because who would mistake a car center for a daycare, and why would you take your car to a daycare anyway? Would you walk to work? Would you bike to work? Would you take a blimp to work? Call a ride of the Valkyrie taxi to work? That's just silly, so this is completely absurd, and Sonata Daycare Center is not an official sponsor of the Complete Musician Podcast.
And we are back with our last activity. Now, reminders after this, we will have the information about our contest and our giveaway, but before then... We would be remiss to talk about Halloween without talking about one of the quintessential food items of Halloween, which is what?
Candy corn.
Well, not the corn part, but yes, the candy part. Absolutely. I did, as a side
candy
note...
Candy pumpkins.
I did eat one piece of candy corn this year, and I took a bite of it, and I hated every second, but I finished the whole piece just to prove to myself that I could.
Wow, I'm proud of you. This is big personal growth. Doing things that you hate. Get comfortable being uncomfortable, and you will grow as a person.
There's a metaphor for how we should approach music. Go outside your comfort zones, your boundaries. This is advice number two of actual decent advice from this podcast episode.
Get comfortable and that's all being uncomfortable. That's it. That's all.
And have a high tolerance for looking silly. Anyway, candy is what Halloween is all about. It's always been everything. The grocery store has been all about that Halloween candy since 2 months ago.
Holy cow, and, yes,
anyway, I think we've probably talked about our favorite candies, but I thought what would be fun is to pick a musician or a composer that we both know fairly well. Or know fairly well, but I mean that it's either actually know them or like know their music. Like Strauss could be someone that we picked, or Mozart or something like that. And we're going to take a quiz, and we're going to answer how we feel they would answer, and we will there determine their favorite candy bar.
I like that idea.
So the first question is, who are we going to talk about? I think maybe just, like, a well-known classical composer.
Okay. Let's pick someone with, like, a very well-known personality and someone who... So I would say maybe one of the bigs. So maybe Mozart, Beethoven... One of those guys.
Yeah, we know a Mozart, lot about. Beethoven, Bach, something like that.
Yeah. Let's go Mozart.
Mozart. Okay. So this is... The goal here is, assuming this site works, is figuring out what Mozart's favorite Halloween candy or candy bar is.
Okay.
Okay. So, Mozart, is he a sweet or a sour? It's as sweet
He's
as can
sour.
Be. I'm a little bitter, a healthy mix of both, or I lean more towards sweet. Which doesn't actually...
He might be a healthy...
He said, are you sweet or sour? One says bitter. There's no sour option.
Oh. Okay, I would think he'd be mostly bitter.
Yeah.
Although people said he was jovial. I don't know. He'd be a good mix of both.
Okay, mix of both.
Okay.
Do you like to try and improve every
situation that you're in. Well, is that improv or is that improv? Because it's improv, then it actually. I don't like to meddle. Some things are out of my control. It's not up to me. Or, yes, I just want everyone to be happy. What might be better is rather than me tell you what the answers are, you just say what you think he's going to answer, and then I'll find the most appropriate one. That'll also make this go faster.
Okay, yes. So, with that one, does he like to? I think he would make things better for his own good, and so I would say no.
Okay. What is your favorite candy-loving holiday?
He would absolutely love...
And, by the way, one of the options is every day of the week.
Oh. Mm. Okay, what does this answer say? What about April Fool's Day?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you eat dessert every night?
He, of course he does.
Yeah, of course. If you had to pick a sour candy, which one would you pick? Sour Patch Kids, sour gummy worms, Airheads, or I don't like sour candy.
Oh, I'll give you Airheads all day long.
Okay. When you have to choose between two things, how do you make the decision?
Whatever benefits me the most.
Okay.
Throw a dart at a dartboard.
I go with my gut.
Yeah, perfect. Okay.
Which of the below do you want more?
The third one.
Okay. Part of me, when I was also thinking of ideas for activities, I thought I could show you a bunch of fun pictures of pumpkins, and in this audio medium, we could have a totally visual activity.
Oh, that would be so fun for everyone listening.
Everyone listening. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be super fun.
What beverage do you start your day with? And this is me asking you, Mozart.
Oh, for me, Mozart? Gin.
Probably. Probably. Let's go with... okay, that. How many pets do you think you could handle at one time?
Zero.
Okay, the answer there is none, but they're expensive.
Right.
If you were famous, what would you be famous for? He is famous.
He is famous. So he is famous for being the best at everything.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go with actor or pop singer. Yes. I don't know. What do you think? Actor seems to have a bigger ego. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you eat raw mushrooms?
Yes, he does.
It's the best way to eat them.
Any way to have
this is
a
not
party.
Me saying that. That's the answer.
What's your sense
of humor like?
Wicked.
Okay.
Mean.
Are you okay with sharing your food?
No.
Heck no. Yeah.
Heck
Do
no.
people tend to easily like you?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything you're allergic to?
Yes,
that's okay. That's
but
a
it doesn't
cheap
matter.
Question because then you're going to remove all potentially like nut related
like
candy bars.
Yeah.
Is it not. Is having an allergy a personality trait?
I don't know. I think it depends on the person.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so what
like
is your
being
answer
a
here?
CrossFitter, is that a personality trait? Kind
People
of. They
like
could
it.
Tell us all the time. So
that's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking of going as CrossFitter for Halloween, and I'd have to be followed by a chiropractor to further do damage that I did to myself. And that's the scary part of it.
Take a good video of you doing pull-ups or whatever they call pull-ups.
I was just going to bring a big monster truck tire and just like flip it down the street.
Oh, that'd be good too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure
but
you
with
bandage
bad form.
Every part of yourself because you're in constant pain and your joints are screaming. Apologies to all CrossFitters out
there. I'll take some herbal, medicine. It'll fix it right up. Anyway,
something holistic.
Is there anything you're allergic to?
Can you say yes, but it doesn't matter? I'll do it anyway.
How about stupidity?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Do you like kids?
No.
What's your all-time
favorite dessert? That's Mozart. Mozart saying that. He doesn't like kids.
Yes.
I like kids.
Yes, you are Mozart.
Yes. What was that next one?
All-time favorite dessert.
Ooh. A chocolate something.
Okay. When you have a project at work, at your job to work on, do you prefer to do it alone or with a team?
Alone.
That's, yeah, probably 100% totally. Right. Do you have champagne taste or on a beer budget?
Yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah.
That's why, yes.
Do you dream about going, where do you dream about going on vacation?
Anywhere where his sister will not show him up.
Okay, that's anywhere in the Caribbean. How Perfect. Do you like to spend your weekends?
Eating cheese.
I'm going to say trying out a new winery or restaurant, because I think that would be
oh, that's a good
cheese
one. Yeah.
related.
Yeah.
Do you have yeah. a go-to drink order at the bar?
He would champagne, something very
yep.
high. Yes.
Highbrow.
Top shelf. Yes.
When you're meeting new people, do you get stressed out?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Are you a competitive person?
Yes.
Yeah. If there's something I consider myself good at, I'm very competitive. Oh, I said just absolutely I am. Okay.
Oh,
wow, there's so many questions. What is this building towards? What was your favorite candy when you were a kid?
It's
if you want the options, let me know.
No, I don't. He wasn't allowed to have any kind of, you know, desserts when he was little because he was
okay.
only playing for kings and queens, so
yep.
none.
So the answer is those little candy button things.
Yes.
Do you thrive more in small groups or large groups?
Large. Large.
Mm-hmm. How would
Gotta
you
be the center of attention.
Like to work, or how do you like to work out to burn off all of this candy?
Dancing.
Are you the kind of person that needs to be in charge?
Yes.
Okay. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Probably
dead
not alive.
Because you interviewed me yeah. when I'm 32.
Exactly.
because I'm 33 right now and you interviewed me, so dead.
And also hopefully wealthier too, but that's not the
case.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Probably exactly where I am right now or at the top of my field. We'll see that.
Yeah. Just deceased. Death.
Just deceased.
In an unmarked.
That's spooky. What would happen if all the candy in the world disappeared?
It'd be fine, because I'd still be here.
Okay. So, no chocolate for you, Mozart. You're all about the chewy caramel and salty, crunchy peanuts. You don't sugarcoat things in life, and you're not about to do it with your candy bars. You can be a bit rough around the edges, and perhaps sometimes take that the wrong way, but once they get to your core, they realize you're just a sweetheart, and the candy bar is a payday bar.
Okay. Oh, actually, you know what? He really could have used a lot of those.
Yeah, he really
like,
could have
a lot
used
of
a payday bar.
Especially towards the end. Wow. That built towards a lot.
Yeah. Right.
I wonder what he would think about that. I think we captured his personality pretty well.
I think so. We could do one more super short one that's a BuzzFeed
sure.
quiz, so it's garbage.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I like that.
But let's pick maybe another person, someone that maybe we know a little bit better. Or else I can just ask you.
I like laughing at other people's expense. what if we used, like I said, someone we know? We've already used Jeff, so we can't use Jeff. What if we used Anne-Marie? We could always laugh at her expense. We do that pretty frequently.
Yeah, we could do. But I already know, like, her favorite
oh, you do?
Ice cream flavors and things. So I don't
okay.
think that would be a good one. Let's pick someone that maybe we don't know, but someone that's in popular culture.
Okay.
A famous musician.
Like John Williams or
John
Yo-Yo
Williams.
Ma or.
Yo-Yo
okay.
Ma, yeah, any of those. Who
okay.
do you want to do?
Pick one of them.
Okay. Let's do John Williams.
Okay.
The master of all things, written many spooky, spooky tunes in his day.
Yeah. J.W. the Man. Yeah, we got him.
So, John Williams, what did you do for Halloween? Partied, went trick-or-treating, stayed home, or went on a date?
Oh, he probably stayed home.
He probably stayed home. Yeah, exactly. What did you dress up as? A superhero, an animal, a troll, or I didn't dress up?
I didn't dress up.
He didn't dress up. He just wore his black turtleneck and gray pants. Who did you spend your Halloween with? Friends, family, my SO, or I was by myself the whole time?
I would
would hope. I mean, friends?
I don't know. I mean, Halloween's not really a holiday. I think that he'd probably be too busy working, so I think probably just S.O.
Probably. Okay, yeah.
Which of these movies did you watch? Hocus Pocus, The Nightmare Before Christmas, It, or I Didn't Watch Anything?
Nightmare Before Christmas. That has the best score. He would watch that.
Yeah, hopefully him and Danny Elfman don't have any bad blood.
I hope not.
Okay, be honest. How much candy did you really eat? A few pieces, way too much, a normal amount, or none?
None.
Probably. I feel like John Williams is like a pretty straight-laced and healthy. You know?
Yeah, I don't feel like he's a big maybe, candy. But I mean, you know he's now stayed
I think
so
a
active.
Few pieces. I think he just snuck a couple Tootsie Rolls.
Okay. Tootsie Rolls. And, or those little... those candies that
little caramels that you unwrap and
yeah, and they've been around for 400 years maybe? And you have no idea where they came from. Yeah, those.
Yeah. I think he unwraps a couple, Reasons or something just for fun.
Reasons, yes.
Okay, almost done. What time did you finally go to bed? 11 p.m., 9 p.m., midnight, or after 3 a.m.?
Definitely 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, yeah. Tired after the early bird special.
Yeah,
finally, what holiday are you looking forward to next? Christmas, Thanksgiving. To be honest, I'm still in the Halloween spirit, or New Year's. I would think it would have to be Christmas because of all the tunes that he wrote for Christmas films.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Home Alone.
I would have said that or 4th of July if it went that far.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah. There's no narrative to go with this, but do you want to guess what candy bar John Williams is?
Oh my goodness, a Hershey's bar.
No.
Oh,
one more guess.
Is it chocolate?
There's chocolate in it. Yeah, there's also nougat.
Oh no. I'm not sure.
Three Musketeers.
Oh, I love Three Musketeers.
And maybe it's because he has the power of three people
in writing music ability. I like that. That seems to fit him.
It's not too heavy. It's fluffy, chocolatey, rich.
And it's wonderful. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. We now know Mozart's and John Williams's favorite candy bars.
I hope they call in.
I hope so. Hey,
I hope so.
Johnny, if you're listening to this podcast and we didn't get it right, or if we did, just go ahead and email us at cormodohorn@gmail.com.
Yeah, JW. We'll change it. Just let us know.
We'll correct the record if you want us to.
Yeah.
So,
that was fun.
So those are our things, and this episode is getting quite robust. So let's continue with our last little bit here.
It's quiz time, everyone. So if you're listening, thank you for being with us. And so what the quiz is we are going to play five themes. There's only five of them. Five excerpts of themes from five horror movies. And the first person to email us the five correct answers to what movies they're from gets some free music.
And what kind of free music?
We are each going to give away a solo piece that we've both written.
Uh-huh. And the exact one will be determined. But you have to get everything right.
Right. And if you already own some solo works from us, then we'll give you a selection. But otherwise, we have some ones that we think would fit perfectly with this. But anyway, first you got to get them all right. Now, as the themes play, I'm going to let them play a little bit, but then I'm also going to give some clues.
Okay.
So that you really should not be getting these wrong at all. Anyway, so there'll be five questions. Here's the first theme. All right, so this is from a movie that was released in 1960. The most infamous scene from this movie is 45 seconds. And this movie also contains the first flushing toilet ever seen and heard in Hollywood. So that's our first theme. Okay, here is our second theme that you have to identify. So this was released in 1978. This theme is in 5/4, which you could probably know anyway, but is just really cool. The main town of this movie is actually in New Jersey, not in Illinois. And the main actress in this movie hates horror movies. Okay, here's the third theme to identify. Okay, so this movie was released in 1996. Originally, it was a one-act play, but was fleshed out into an entire screenplay. This was a huge hit because of the meta self-awareness and critical classification of stereotypes of slasher horror films, and the movie makes fun of itself very often. The director also appears as a janitor in this film in one scene. Okay, here is the fourth theme to identify. Okay, so this was released in 1980. It was based on murders in Finland. The killer in the movie claimed, when reading the script, originally claimed it was a piece of insert word here, and only did it because this person needed a new car. And the killer everyone is most familiar with in this franchise doesn't even appear until the second movie.
Interesting.
And here is our fifth and final theme to identify. This movie was released in 1973. Police in DC threatened to arrest anyone found scalping tickets to non-adults because of this film's rating. It was the first horror film to be nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. And the most famous scene involves a very large amount of pea soup.
Yummy.
Okay, so you have to identify all five of those and send them to our email at koromotohorn@gmail.com to win the giveaway.
KOROMOTOHORN
@gmail.com. Yeah. So we're waiting for your submissions and you'll get some free music out of it. So be the first one to answer.
And happy Halloween and all of that good stuff. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Yes, we appreciate you.
Everything you do in listening, and always feel free to send us other ideas of things. We'll get back into the more traditional advice after the holidays, but between the holidays, and we may have some interesting and fun winter holiday stuff coming up that we're going to do, but you can always reach us on that Gmail that we gave out again at koromotohorn@gmail.com. And we hope you enjoyed this little special. And any last parting words or spooky things?
Be careful if you're gonna TP houses. Like, don't.
<No. laughs>
All right, happy Halloween.